broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network.
That Ruth built is Yankee Stadium. Yeah. The house that I built is Auburn Radio. Boom! Costa Mesa. Auburn Radio. Welcome on a Friday. I'm motivated. So I'm going through messages on my business phone. 714-910. It's actually a pretty easy phone number to remember. This is how I remember it. 714 is the area code in Orange County. One of them. The oldest one. Right? Los Angeles used to be 213. Right? There was one area code. Now I think there's like 7 or 8. Orange County was 213. San Diego was 619. And, So it's 714. The next number is the area code for Camp Lejeune, North Carolina. 910. That's easy. Last four are 4419. Yeah, send a text. Say, hey, what's up? What's up, what's up, Devil Dog? Uh-oh. Yeah, can you imagine? You can't say Devil Dog in the Marine Corps anymore? That's, like, considered something bad? What? Good God. I heard that. I was like, what did you just say? Yeah, Devil Dog. You're not supposed to say that anymore. Satanic reference. Yeah, it is. Straight up is. Compliment, man. So, anyway. Yeah, so. So I'm checking messages and got a call from Minnesota State University, Mankato. So I returned the call and going to go up there and speak in November. And fired up about it. I love, some of the best years of my life were living in North Dakota. In a town of about 65,000 people. And doing a radio show there, which is where I learned how to do this. And coaching high school baseball, running for election. Have I ever told you the story about running for election? Here's a funny story for you. So I'm part of RCT5 in 2006. General Nicholson is retiring. He's the commanding general at 3MAF. Just relinquished, I think, to Lieutenant General Eric Smith. So they're both friends of mine. And so I met Colonel Nicholson. This is a funny story, too. I'm going to tell a funny story on the way to a funny story. Nicholson is, I think he's working for NATO, stationed in Brussels. He comes to Iraq on a visit for a week. So he finagled some kind of TAD orders from NATO, was coming to the division, so he came down to check it out. So he's hanging out. I'm working for General Mattis at the time. And I have a baseball that sits on my desk. So, and we're working in this palace made of marble, right? So Nicholson shows up, and he's like, he's a sports guy, he's a baseball guy. So I relate to him immediately. So he walks up, and he goes, "Hey, Mac, are you a baseball guy?" I said, "Yeah." And he grabs a baseball, and he starts bouncing it off the marble floor. And I'm thinking, like, what kind of insanity is this? And so I looked at him, and I said, "Hey, sir, I need to stop you from doing that, because if there's baseball guys around here and they see you doing that, they'll judge you as some kind of crazy, out of your mind dude. Like, what are you doing?" And he looks at me and he says, "What?" And I said, "Yeah, baseball guys don't throw baseballs off marble floors, okay? It's not something we do." So he throws the baseball back at me. So he goes home, then he comes back, he's a G3 for a while. And then he goes down to RCT1, and he was supposed to lead RCT1 during the Battle of Fallujah, the second battle that took place right after the election. Election, Bush wins, go. That's how that shit worked. Anyway, not that the attack was tied to the election or anything like that. But Karl Rove, yeah, you need to stop the war for a while. What? Yeah, sorry, we can't get you reelected if the war is going on, okay? You know that pistol, that Marine, hands around, arms around other people, blood streaming out of his thigh. You know, yeah, we don't need any more of that shit. Okay. All right, tell the DOD, stop the war. So we stopped the war, and we sit around Fallujah till the election, and then, what, 24, 48 hours later, it's on Al-Fajr. So, so he goes down to take over RCT1, and that's when the day of the change of command with Colonel John Toulon. Rocket comes through the window in the office of the RCT1 commanding officer. Complete accident, right? I shot an arrow into the air. Where it went, I know not where. Same concept, to shoot it generally towards the base and hopefully it lands someplace. Comes through a window, and Nicholson had been sitting at his desk. The window's right behind the desk. The communication officer, Major Kevin Shea, sat down to work on Nicholson's computer. And Major Shea was killed that day, and Nicholson severely wounded. Whoa, you're not even up yet. So Nicholson's severely wounded, and he's obviously medevac from the country. So that's the first funny story is Nicholson bouncing the ball and me admonishing him for it in public. And then the funny part was Dunford is working like 5 feet away from me. And so Nicholson looks at Dunford, they're both colonels, and he goes, "Can you believe this guy, Joe?" And Dunford he drops his glasses down to the tip of his nose, and he looks at Nicholson and he says, "He's got a point, Larry." And he says, "Oh, I see how it is back here." But anyway, fast forward, Nicholson asked me to go to Fallujah with the RCT5. Calls me, I'm in North Dakota. Phone rings, hello. "Mac, Larry Nicholson." "Hey, sir, what's up?" Last time I'd seen him was at the White House at Camp Pendleton, CP of the 1st Marine Division. And we went out and afterwards and had a drink, toasted his recovery, and he's doing good. So anyway, I walk into Nicholson's office. I see the guy who represents my part of the city is going to retire. And I thought, well, I should run. I wanted to run because I thought, you know, I could help. You know, I have leadership qualities. I'm a grown-up. So I go in to see Nicholson, and I go in to see Nicholson, and I said, hey, sir, do you care if I put my name in to run for office so when I get home I can serve? He goes, no. He said, what office? I said, city council. He goes, I think that's awesome. He said, no, Mac. So I put my name in, and I win. Five other people running for the seat. I get like 50-something percent of the vote. Exactly. Crushed it. So anyway, my family would go door to door, and we'd had kind of a checkerboard matrix of the ward. They'd go door to door, my kids and my ex-wife, Susan. They were awesome. And then when I could, I'd go down to the call center, and I'd get on the phone, and I'd call people, and I'd say, and, you know, the conversation would be hilarious, something like this. If they answer the phone, hey, I'm Mike McNamara, how are you? I'm running for election in Ward 2, which is my ward, and I thought I'd call and say hi, introduce myself. Mike McNamara, aren't you in Iraq? Yes. And you're calling me? Yes. Okay, let me just tell you something. I've never received a call from anywhere east of Chicago, okay? This is, I kid you not. You got my vote just because you called me. And then I'd hear stuff like, hey, I met your son the other day. He's got a good handshake. Or I met your daughter. She didn't walk on my lawn. She walked up. She introduced herself, gave me the flyer. I'm voting for you. And so I get elected. I get elected, and it makes the Drudge Report, right? I came in the next day, and I had like almost 1,000 messages in my inbox, my unclassified inbox. And so I looked at the data guys, and I said, hey, there's something wrong with my computer. So they sit down, and, you know, I'm doing turnover and whatnot, and in the Combat Operations Center. And so I'm talking and doing something, and they're just standing there looking at me, and I said, I finished, I look at them, I said, did you fix it? And they're like, sir, there's nothing wrong with your computer. I said, where'd all the email come from? They're like, it's from different people all over the world. I was like, what? So where I live, they put in, I don't know, they put in a link to something that had my email address on it. And people all over the world emailed me. It's incredible. I don't know if I still have my, I hope I do. But so then what happens is now there's a PAO piece in all of this. So I got the Associated Press wants to interview me. And so they send me an email, and I tell the guy, I can't do this. And he says, why not? Are you tied up? I said, yeah, we're in the middle of a series of raids, and I'm not going to be available. So he writes, and it gets in U.S. News and World Report, things you don't often hear an elected candidate, an elected official say. One, declining a news interview. Two, you know, I can't do it when in the middle of a series of raids. So, and the way I see that is Nicholson calls me into his office one day, and he says, do you know that you're in U.S. News and World Report? And I reply, huh? He says, yeah, check it out. And it's this little blurb. So anyway, then the meth summons me. The meth staff judge advocate summons me and says, what I've done is illegal. I'm like, what? Yeah, you can't do what you did. I said, I can't? That's news to me. Why not? Why can't I? You're on active duty. Can't run for office. I'm a reservist, though. I have a home. I'm, like, all that. Yeah, well, you're mobilized on active duty. But I'm leaving active duty in 7 months. And whatever it was. It wasn't even 7 months at that point. And so they tell me, yeah, you need to come see this lieutenant colonel. You need to come see me. So I go, after I get off work, I go over. I sit in a corner of his office for 20 minutes, sitting there, while he sits there and works on his computer. And I was just doing, and I, you know, I'd been up all night, And so I'm sitting there. He turns around. He reads me my rights. And he tells me what my violations of the UCMJ. I said, okay. Do you want to make a statement? I said, no. And he said, well, let me tell you, this is what's going to happen, and blah, 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 blah. So I leave, and Nicholson told me to come back and tell him what happened. So I go by his office, and he looks at me. He goes, are you shitting me? I said, no. Now, at the same time, the Marine Corps is putting me on TV, right? Because I was essentially like the Marine Corps version at the time of Jack Armstrong. So the PAO piece of this is this. The story about Haditha breaks in early March of 2006. Another killing done by Marines, the Hamidiya thing, that breaks in April, May. And every story that comes out about the Marine Corps is horrible. So all of a sudden, I do this interview with the Associated Press, and the guy says, why did, like, you're in Iraq, why did you want to run for office? And I said, I just was honest, I said, if you could see what I see, the courage and selflessness from these young Marines and sailors and soldiers that work for us on a daily basis, if you're a leader, you want to do more, not less. And so, you know, when you go home as a reservist, you have this anxiety because you miss this. You miss what you see. You miss the intoxicating experience of serving with these incredible people. And so, in some way, shape, or form, I just want to continue my service. And that's just nothing but the truth, right, for anybody who's seen it. And it's why you don't get over that experience. And so, but again, how hokey is that, right? It's hokey as shit, but it's the truth. And so later in the interview, he asked me about it. He says, you know, the reverence that you speak of the experience is interesting. And I said, well, I'm Catholic, right? So I'm going to use a Catholic word for you. I said, the sacrifice you see here consecrates democracy. The blood that gets spilled here makes democracy holy and makes it a sacred thing, and we all should do what we can to preserve it. Something like that. And that quote makes its way into Rolling Stone magazine at the end of the year. That's another funny story. I'm on the air back doing my radio show, and somebody calls in and says, hey, Max, you know you're in Rolling Stone magazine? I said, what? They said, yeah. I'm like, what Rolling Stone magazine? I'm like, hello? Hello? There's only one Rolling Stone magazine. I said, that? What am I in there for? And they said, you have this quote about what you see here sanctifies democracy, consecrates it. I said, yeah, it makes it holy. So anyway, So the PAOs are waking me up every morning at, I go to bed at like 9 o'clock. They're waking me up at noon, I think, to be on the East Coast versions of all the news shows. I'm like squinting into the sun. I look like Mole Man and some of that shit. I haven't seen it, but that's what I knew I did. I wake up in the middle of the night, stumble out there. I'm like, all right, you ready? This is ABC, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, sure. Put their headset on. Hey, Major McNamara, this is, you know, Soledad O'Brien from CNN. Hi, Soledad, how you doing? Good, how are you? Fine. How are things in Iraq? Awesome. We're whacking them left and right over here. You're in the city of Fallujah? Yep. So that's the PAO piece. So I'm getting paraded because it's a PAO's dream of a good story, right? You know, these are the kind of men and women that join the Marine Corps, and we want to tell that story, and it was a good story. But I'm getting investigated, right? And then I made some comment that some politician saw, and I said, look, you know, based on what I've seen, right, we could use more veterans in political office because it's not very impressive. And that, I don't know, somebody saw that. So that made the early bird, right? Like the news I read, it made that, right? And politicians saw it, and they called over the Marine Corps and like, hey, how can this guy run for office? He can't. So this investigation into me goes on for, I don't know, maybe it was about a week. So I'm going to work or coming back from chow or something like that, and I see General Neller, who was my battalion commander, right? So Neller, I've known. I think he was a captain of the basic school when I was a student there. And so then he's my battalion commander, and he's a friend of mine. And I'm his favorite company commander of all time. He said it as much here on, I need to sneak that into the opening. Hold on. Let me write that down. Favorite arrow open. Hold on, because that's a little piece of funny audio. Okay, so I see Neller, and he sees me, and he goes, hey, I've been looking for you. And I said, why? And we shake hands, and he grabs my hand, and he gives me, you know, the bro hug. He goes, man, I am so proud of you. And he said, I think that's awesome. And I said, well, thanks. I said, but interestingly enough, your staff judge advocate doesn't. He's like, what are you talking about? He said, Lieutenant Colonel Umpty Fraps? I said, yeah, that jackass. And he said, what's going on? I said, I'm being investigated for violations of the UCMJ. I said, sir, I didn't do anything wrong. If I made a mistake, you know, I apologize. I didn't knowingly violate anything. I went in and asked the regimental commander, and he said he didn't care. And he said, you're not joking. I said, no. He said, all right, don't worry about that. I said, what? He said, don't worry about that. I said, yes, sir. He said, you just do your job and keep doing good things. Okay. Never heard about it again. Never heard about it again. But I don't know if it's a UCMJ article, but there is guidance that you're, as for reservists, that you're not supposed to run for public office while you're on active duty. I didn't know. But it is in keeping with my philosophy of it's better to ask for forgiveness than it is for permission. Yeah. Yep. That's how I do it. That's how I tend to do it. But there you have it. That's my getting in trouble for being elected and being exalted and investigated all at the same time. It was awesome. And I'll tell you a funny story. So during the campaign, I'd get off work, and if they had things that I could participate in, I'd go down the phone bank and I'd participate. So I go down the phone bank one night, and they're having a candidate forum, and the guys I was running against set me up. So, you know, it's like all five candidates running for city council seat. So before the debate starts, they introduce everybody, and we have Joe Schmo, and we have Jack Doe, and we have Larry Curley and Shemp, and we also have Major Mike McNamara, who's on the phone with us from Iraq. And so, yeah, welcome, blah, 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 all these people there. And they said, before we have a question that we want to ask Major McNamara that only applies to him. And I'm like, oh, okay. And they said, Major McNamara, if you're elected, will you promise the citizens of Grand Forks that you will not deploy again, and you will only represent them? And I said, well, just for the record, you know, the Marine Corps has been one of the greatest pieces of my life. And it's one of the greatest organizations on the planet. And the courage and selflessness that is a part of what I do is a huge part of me. And if the only reason you would vote for me is if I would say yes, that I won't deploy again if my country asks me to, then don't vote for me. Vote for somebody else. Because I would never turn my back on the Marine Corps, and I'd never turn my back on my country. A buddy of mine who was there said, you should have seen their faces after that answer. He said it was hilarious. The whole thing blew up in their faces. I said, well, it serves them right. You know what? I was just being honest, though. And he said that was the best part. Right? It wasn't a policy question. It was just you answering a question off the cuff. And he said it was the best question that got asked all night. If you looked at the articles that got written the next day, that was the lead. The other question I remember, which is kind of an interesting kind of fiscal question, was one of them was, if elected, you know, what is your stance on being green? Right. And I went last of the five candidates, and everybody's like, oh, I'm green. Rah, 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 rah. Oh, you know, vote for me. I'll set you free. Rah, rah, rah. And, you know, all this bullshit. So I said, well, here's a question I would ask you. How green do you want me to be? You know, I love Earth. Earth is of all the planets I've lived on, Earth is my favorite. Okay. And I want to be a good steward of it. How green do you want me to be, though? Can I raise your taxes to be green? Because I'm not sure everybody knows this, but recycling, we don't make money off that. We pay to recycle. Yeah. What? Yeah, we pay to recycle. So, like, I'm all about it. Can I raise your taxes to be green? Can I take money out of the street maintenance fund to be green? Can I buy greener vehicles that are going to cost us more money and make me raise your taxes? So the way I view this is I'm going to be as green as I can within the financial constraints of the city and the other parameters that the taxpayers give us. And I don't think they want their taxes raised. So within those confines, there's tough choices to be made. And how green do you want to be? That's a good question. And I think it certainly depends on every one of those questions being answered appropriately before I could tell you how green it all be. But I love Earth, baby. I'm all about it. I was like, yes. And the rest of them are like, I'm about like green energy and you know what? Stupid, stupid, stupid. And you wonder why the country's in such a sorry ass state. Yesterday, so at some point, I think in November, I'm going to head up to Mankato, fired up to do that, talk about mental health. And, you know, here's one of the things I'm realizing. Not too many people talk about mental health the way we do on a daily basis. And I'm being generous with that. Bring on the just diverse guests that we bring on and have kind of developed the body of work that All Marine Radio has developed relative to post-combat related mental health, relative to coexisting with trauma. And I'm pretty proud of that, you know, of the work that, you know, me and my friends have done, the discussions that we have about this kind of stuff, how much we care about, you know, the Marines we serve with, and now, you know, the people we bump into that are affected by trauma. You know, hey, we can help you learn to coexist with it. And I was talking to my sisters last night, and they were my sisters are now co-located for a week or so. And so my sister Peggy was saying, you know, the things that you say, Michael, she's funny. She says, the things you say, she said, when I hear them, I'm like, yeah. And she said, I obviously haven't lived your life, but, you know, they make sense. And they're real to me. And so the PhD that Gunner has that I have and this kind of stuff is talking about it all the time, it's not resonant too many places. And so I'm pretty proud of that. So we're going to work out the details of going up to Mankato. The other thing that happened yesterday after the show was talk to Major General Furness, CG of the 2nd Marine Division. So he was en route someplace, so he gave me a call and talking And he sends his best and will appear on the program in the not-too-distant future. But he said, well, what are you and the rest of the ass clowns been up to? So I was telling him, right? I was telling him about John the Baptist down in Granbury, Texas, and marauding around in his pickup truck, yoking people up. Hey, do you need help? You got trauma? Come here, I'm the gunner. Please don't hurt me. I was talking to Montana Man about that. He said, man, I howl every time I think about that. So he stops me in the middle of the discussion and he says, all right, you need to come back and you need to present this to the Marines of the 2nd Division. He said, because, you know, suicide's a constant threat here and I need to spark the discussion relative to mental health here. And I said, I'm all about it. And so what I'd like to do is I'd like to put kind of a little bit of an ensemble together. You know, I would like to, the gunner has to go, obviously. But I would love to invite Peyton to sing at it. And to, you know, kind of, and then Peyton to tell her story. Whoa, this isn't your normal PME. Who's that? Why is she here? But when she was a junior in high school, she took police to her dad's apartment and they found him dead. And now she's doing that. And I'd also like to take, you know, somebody from Boulder Crest or Semper Max, somebody that's doing alternative PTSD training, and plant that seed. Like, look, you know, if you're struggling, look at what these people do. Read the book Struggle Well. And if you need to go when you get out, if you're struggling, you need to give them a call. Go do that. You don't need the zombie cocktail. I'm convinced of that. That might be appropriate for some. But the way you get there is you should go through that alternative stuff. If you still need to be medicated after that, you know, then to the VA and get the medical help that you need and maybe the psychiatric care that you need. Okay? But it should be a progressive thing, not a, you walked in, you show these systems, you get this diagnosis, okay, this diagnosis gets you these meds and gets you this therapy. Sorry. Not really buying that. So, I would love to do that. So, spreading the gospel of All Marine Radio. So, pretty cool. So, and it's happened in a week that's been kind of crazy, to be honest with you. The crazy week is, involves like a lot of this stuff kind of coming to head at the same time. You know, my sister's story kind of hits with a thought. So, if you haven't listened to that, you should. And do everybody here on All Marine Radio a favor, share it with your friends. Because I am stunned by the number of people that react to it. I am stunned by the number of people out there that live with trauma. I got this incredibly cool email from one of my Marines last night. His sister was murdered. He said his mom listened to it. And he said, and I don't know why, but there's something different about my mom today. And I don't know what in that interview. He said, I'll keep you posted, but thank you for sharing your sister's story. He said, I had heard it before, but hearing it from her is different. And he said, I think something happened to my mom last night. So, again, it's a wonderful thing to be able to ease somebody else's burden a little bit. And so you all have a part in that because you listen. So do that. If you haven't listened to the interview, listen to it. If you haven't shared it, share it. Because there's so many people out there that I was going to say hurt. Exactly. right, we're going to take a we'll do the national anthem. A lot of news. Secretary of Defense, I was told in a text message he was in Pakistan. He's in Afghanistan after he was in India. Now, it's interesting, right? The India piece was featured in the president's address prominently, and that we would forge closer ties with India. And we have. And that was to menace Pakistan, deliberately put there. So we've cut aid to Pakistan. We just signed an aid agreement with India. We're trying to get India not to buy the S-400 anti-aircraft system, because you can't have our F-35 and have that because of those things working together, and you're going to give away state secrets. All right. So no decision has been made by India on the S-400. Both the Secretary of Defense and the Secretary of State were there. Mike Pompeo and Jim Mattis. I had a dream that Secretary Mattis was in last night. Yeah. I was with my mom walking out of a diner, and he was sitting at a table and with his back to the door, and the door, when it opened, would hit his shoulder. So as we're paying the bill and we turn, I see him. He stands up and he's walking out the door, and I said, "Hey, sir." And he turns around, and at first you can tell he's irritated, and he sees me, and he says, and he sticks his hands out, and he smiles. He says, "Mac," I said, "I'd like to introduce you to my mom." and then I woke up. That was the end of the dream. So he's not in Pakistan right now. He flew from I believe he was in New Delhi in India, and he flew to Kabul to check in there. So new commander there, and so as long as he's in the region, right, might as well swing by and say hey. So we'll check the news. There's a lot of interesting news today, especially not so much on the big events, but on interesting policy stuff. So good morning to you. Thanks for listening to All Marine Radio. And Whitney Houston, as she does on Friday, sings the national anthem. Good morning to you. Jeff's going to be here today. Work, no doubt about it. Dedicated to all the people who shared my sister's story and all the people who have written in about it. First of all, if you wrote in, just so you know that every one of those has been forwarded or read to my sister. And I can't tell you how much that means to me personally. and the lives that it touches. It, again, there's nothing any of us can do about the past. The only thing we can do is play it forward to the best of our ability. And I'm very proud of my sister and her desire to do that after 22 years, 22 long, tough years. And so so thank you to everybody who did that. Share it. Right? You have a lot of times you have no idea who you know that has significant trauma in their life. And we here practice a unique form of mental health. Not school trained, not a therapist, none of that. All I do is deal with it. So this is dedicated to them.
Betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
My fellow Americans, I'm pleased to tell you today that I've signed legislation that will outlaw Russia forever. We begin bombing in 5 minutes.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah. You know, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain. It's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once the bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose. So you want to keep them in the cage.
Can you imagine, were you a Vietnam veteran and you came home and they told you to take your uniform off and don't talk about it and just forget about it?
I can't even imagine. I have so much respect for those guys.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day. And Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds. And win. You got to win.
If you follow this program, you know who Larry Hinkle is, right? Larry Hinkle sitting in the Fox News studio. He's walking. He's doing his Forrest Gump thing again. Yeah, remember he walked across the country? Well, he'd drive a ways, and then he'd walk around the city, and he'd raise money, And he'd get somebody to sponsor him in the city, and he'd call vets in and to thank vets and first responders. Yeah, he's sitting on the set in the studio at Fox News. Walking across America. He's cleaned his beard up, too. Hinkle, unbelievable story. Unbelievable story. Oh, my God, that's hilarious. Yeah, check it out. Larry Hinkle. That's awesome. It's awesome. He's, there's a guy who's floundering, in life, and, started walking across America. Changed his life. Touched people along the way. Amazing. Pretty interesting tribe, honestly, for all the right reasons. All right, before we get to the news, currently partly cloudy and 80 degrees, so cooled off a little bit in Quantico, Virginia. No weather warnings. Mostly sunny and 84 at Camp Lejeune. Granbury, Texas warmed up a little bit. Clouds and 80 degrees right now. Montana still in the 50s. 59 degrees under sunny skies. 29 Palms warmed up. Sunny and 80 there. Pendleton, clouds 67. Okinawa, dark cloudy. Couple storm warnings, or a couple weather warnings, and 82 degrees right there. Afghanistan, Marja has stayed about the same, which is pretty cool for this time of year. Clear evening, so sun is setting at 88 degrees. Currently at the home of All Marine Radio, Costa Mesa, Newport Beach area of beautiful Southern California. 67 degrees under cloudy skies. Going to warm up a little bit. Look for a high of 79 today, 85 tomorrow, and 85 on Sunday. That's a look at your weather. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll check news headlines. The chef will join us as he does on a Friday. Gunner will be here. More of All Marine Radio. Coming up next on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner's looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs at allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs at allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to my dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Colleen had a volleyball game yesterday. Played like shit. So she got in trouble last night for it. Yeah. I told Catherine, when Colleen gets home, tell her to call me. Colleen calls me. Hello? Yeah, you know it's coming, don't you? Yes. Get your head out of your ass when you play. You're the captain of that team. And they run their offense through you. You're their hitter. And you're not hitting very good, so you need to stay after. You need to work more. You got it? Yeah. I could listen to this song all day, and I do. You know what I mean? It means winning to me. It means winning to me.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day. And Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose
if we have to go fight.
We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds.
What do we got to do, Miller?
We got to win.
This is what winning sounds like. Hold on, I gotta talk to Alyssa. Hey Alyssa, how are you? I'm good. Can I call you back later? Because I'm doing my show right now. Alright, nice to meet you. Mike said a bunch of nice things about you. Alright, take care, alright? I'll talk to you later. Alright, bye. That's called producing live. Alyssa's a girl who was raped when she was 6. That's called winning there, boys and girls. And we deserve to win. So we just got to fight for it. Right? And Colleen's going to get booted in. Going to get booted in her ass. That's right. You know, to me, the great thing about sports, and I'm happy Colleen does them, because she wasn't, as a younger girl, she wasn't involved in it. She didn't do sports. She didn't want to play soccer or anything like that. And what it deprived me of was the preaching the gospel of the keys of life. And I mean, I did it every opportunity I could, but, and what are the keys of life? Discipline, hard work, respect, and toughness. Right? And I believe that when your kids don't play well, you know, sometimes they just, it depends what you see. If you see lack of concentration, which I did, right? Going for balls that are going out of bounds, so you're not paying attention, right? If it's above your waist and you're playing in the back row and it's hit hard, you're letting that ball go. And when you don't do that and you cost your team points, that ain't right. You're going to hear about it. But to me, that's part of the beautiful thing about sports is that they're real for kids, right? They're absolutely positively real for kids. And they have real consequences when you lose and you know it's partly your fault. And so I think as a parent, your job is not to say, oh, pumpkin, as long as you tried hard, it's okay. Trying hard's for losers, man. Right? Hard work, your head in the game, and then trying hard. Look, trying hard, come on. Do we even have to talk about that? I'll quote my dad. It takes no effort to hustle. None. Zero. It takes absolutely, not no effort, it takes absolutely no talent to hustle. You just got to want to. That's what winning sounds like right there. Peyton Davis, check her music out on iTunes. Check it out on Google Play Music, wherever you want, wherever you buy your music. You'll find Peyton. That song's called Hurt. Some news headlines. Philadelphia police raided the home of the couple who raised that $400,000 for that homeless guy. I hope that they pay for it. Yeah, that ain't right. All the people that donated that money, you donate that money with the expectation it's going to be used for what? Where did $400,000 go? Rampant wildfire in California, up in the Sierras, has forced the Marine Corps Mountain Warfare Training Center to be evacuated on Wednesday. So we'll follow that story. But wildfire season starts in California for the most part in September. Yeah, I thought it was earlier, but no. The 24th Marine Expeditionary Unit is heading to Norway to join 40,000 NATO troops in an exercise. Yeah. Larry Hinkle just responded back. Coming on the show next week. Joe, I'm going to kill that dog. Hinkle cleaned up his... Hinkle cleaned up his act. His beard looks good now. It was nasty. So he's going to catch some shit for that. Advocates launch a $250,000 ad campaign to support protection for troops against predatory lenders. How about that? $250,000. Who's behind that? That'll be interesting. I don't have a whole lot of time today because I've run my mouth too much. Arlington Cemetery opening a new section for that had only had Civil War burials in it before. And so there's more room there. That's in the news. No decision on the S-400 anti-air system for India, as India and the United States signed key defense agreements. And again, that's aimed directly at Pakistan. And then a series of interesting stories. A series of interesting stories in the early bird. Number one, Russia warns U.S. of pending attack in Syrian area where U.S. troops are located. Russia has warned the United States military twice in the last week that its forces, along with Syrian regime units, are prepared to attack in an area where dozens of U.S. troops are located, according to several U.S. defense officials. So, interesting stuff going on in Syria right now. Number two, China warns Britain that their ties are at risk after its warship mission. Right, and what did the British Royal Navy do? They had the unmitigated gall to sail in international waters. Yeah, China's so bullshit. Number three, no decision on the S-400 as U.S. India signed key defense agreements. So that'll be an interesting decision to see how India, who's always steered kind of a middle ground, they've always had a relationship with the Soviet Union and the United States. Number four, feds shut down alleged copycat military recruiting sites. So, interesting little story there. And then advocates launch a $250,000 ad campaign. Some other interesting stories. I'll read you the headlines real quick. Afghan troops to train in China, according to its ambassador. That'll be an interesting cultural experience, okay, because the Afghan culture is not the Asian culture. A little bit different. The Arab way is not exactly... That culture is not exactly... I shouldn't say the Arab way. That culture is not exactly the Asian culture of discipline and... It'll be interesting. It's from Al Jazeera. Serious war. Drones crowd skies as the province awaits battle. And that talking about the the battle over the in the vicinity of the city of Idlib in Syria. So that is where clouds are gathering. So interesting stories there. This is kind of an interesting Jim Mattis move. Longtime diplomat Kadenow joins the Pentagon. Ambassador Tina Kadenow, a longtime State Department official and key player in recent reforms to America's arms sales process, is heading to the Pentagon. Okay, that is Jim Mattis recruiting, right? 18 people, smart, bright, savvy people to work with him. So interesting move right there. The Pentagon's, this is another interesting move today. The Pentagon's chief management officer is being replaced 9 months after he's been on the job due to a lack of production, according to the Wall Street Journal. Why do I love that? Fire their asses, man. You don't produce, get them out of there. Don't let them hide in the DOD, right? Apply that same standard to the VA. And I'm not picking on the VA, but good God, man. Commentary and analysis, a couple of headlines out of there. China is losing the new Cold War. Listen to this little paragraph. When the Soviet Union imploded in 1991, the Communist Party of China became obsessed with understanding why. The government think tanks entrusted with that task heaped plenty of blame on Mikhail Gorbachev, the reformist leader who was simply not ruthless enough to hold the Soviet Union together. But Chinese leader also highlighted other important factors, not all of which China's leaders seem to be heeding today. And the article goes on to document they're not heeding those lessons, risk China losing the Cold War. And they'll lose it, because at the end of the day, it's a totalitarian regime. And at some point, the Chinese with their phones and limited access, and you can't do this and you can't do that, at some point, that will change. So let's look at the news this morning. So we're gonna take a break. I'll get the chef on. We'll continue on a pretty motivated Friday. Good things seem to be happening, maybe too many. So I'm starting to get a little bit nervous. But it's about time after 2.25 years of doing this that people start to recognize the excellence. But you have to build it first, and I think we've done that. So, on a day that is a good Friday, hopefully Colleen will play better in her tournament this weekend. That's right. Or else, email Mac, are you that guy? Yelling at your kids when they play sports? I wouldn't exactly call it yelling. I use it as a teaching tool to teach discipline, hard work, commitment to your team, all the shit that I've known in my life. And I think it's important. You know, if your kid goes out there and they're horrible and they're trying, but they're just not good that day, that's one thing. You can live with that. But if it's a way to teach hard work, when you lose, you got to look at yourself and you got to go to practice and you got to work harder. You got to stay after and you got to work longer. And what I told Colleen was, hey, you've got to get more comfortable hitting. Okay, so that's the volleyball player on the outside. They're setting to, and she's hitting. They expect that person, you know, to kill, which is, you know, hit the ball, jump, and then hit the ball down. All right, well, she's only a sophomore in high school, so she's just learning that skill. And I said, look, your serve used to suck. She's got a good serve now. She didn't serve well yesterday, though. Fired it right in the net. I was like, whatever. But all around, not a good day. God, not a good day. I said, look, I can tell you're confused. Your feet, you have to think about what your feet are doing. Okay? You know what that means? Haven't done enough reps. It's got to be automatic, right? You back off. They set it. You jump into it. And you're either going to smoke it or you're going to dink it over the top of them. Okay? So one of the two. But you got to get your footwork down. And to do that, you need more repetitions. To do that, you got to stay after practice. You got to work harder. Got to outwork it. And those are the lessons that you teach in sports. Those are life lessons, right? So later on in life, when Colleen faces adversity at work, you know, what is whose voice is she going to hear? She's going to hear my voice. Hey, get after it. Outwork it. Work harder. Learn it. You can do it. You've been doing it your whole life. And it started back when she was struggling with math. What do we do? Okay, well, let's find an app. We'll download it, and then we're going to mess with it, right? So Colleen's struggling with, what, multiplication tables. And I got told, well, they don't really have them write them anymore like we used to and memorize them. They'd like them to learn a different way. And I said, screw that. That's like dumber than shit, right? What, because we don't want kids to work too hard? I said, I'll teach you how to do it, Colleen. So what do? We get this, you know, this game, this app, and it turns it into a game. You get 30 seconds and as many as you can do in 30 seconds. And when she started, she could do 11, I think. She would get 11 answers, 11, 12, 13, right. Within a week, she was up to 28. And it was a question of how fast you could do it. Right. It was a question of how fast you could do it. And then all of a sudden her grade, now she's getting A's in math. Oh, so what's the lesson there, Colleen? The lesson is work harder. And that's been the lesson every time that, and so in my opinion, parents lose great opportunities to teach with athletics, and it could be any activity. You know, it could be theater, it could be whatever they do. Hey, you're better than that. You know that. I know that. But you got to practice, right? Piano, whatever. And again, you don't need to be an idiot about it, but it's a teaching form, and it ought to be fun, and you ought to have fun with it, and you ought to go out and practice with them. I'll go out and set for calling. So anyway, more Ballmarine Radio and Parenting 101 coming up next.
Hey, all you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.